One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen, and personal injury attorney Carol Ann Gallagher. So great here. We're having another great night here at Lizzie McNeil's. Special show Monday night because of Thanksgiving. And we wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. And in keeping with our honoring of our Irish first responders, we've got a great guest on the show tonight. And you'll see that for yourselves in just a minute. He's a 30-year veteran, retired, of the Cook County Sheriff's Police. Worked in the gang unit, also a detective sergeant. Please welcome Sergeant Dan Burke to the show. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You don't look that old, to tell you the truth, for a guy who was on the force 30 years.
I started young and got out young.
Good for you.
That was the game.
What neighborhood did you grow up in?
I grew up in Norwood Park.
Oh, yeah.
We're from Tecla, St.
Oh,
Tecla.
Oh, St. Tecla, yeah. Okay. And what induced you to be a police officer?
I'm a policeman's son.
Are you really?
A police family, yeah.
Yeah. Is your dad still alive?
He is, thank God, yeah.
God bless him, yeah. So was he a Chicago cop? Or?
He was a Chicago policeman. If you asked him where he was from, he'd tell you. If you said, are you a North Sider or a South Sider, he'd say, I'm a West Sider.
Ah, yeah. He was an old West Sider.
He's an old West Sider.
Yeah. Resurrection Parish.
He was
probably.
A resurrection.
Yeah.
Resurrection in St. Miles.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, there's an old saying, the South Side Irish think they're the toughest, the West Side Irish think they're the smartest, and the North Side Irish think they're British. Just a little shot of the North Side Irish.
Of course.
Anyway, and then you went to Gordon Tech.
I did.
Yeah. Playing football there?
A little bit.
You look like you did.
Very little.
Yeah. And then what?
Construction and
really?
Dug a ditch or two and realized that, you know, being in a hole in the cold and being laid off was wasn't for me, so...
Now, you here worked for the sheriff's office during the reign of our old friend, the great Mike Sheehan.
I did.
And that was an army, all the guys that worked for the sheriff. And I used to go to those golf outings, man. They were great.
Yeah.
There'd be like 800 guys there who all worked for Mike. And,
yeah.
He took good care of his people, too.
He did. He was a really, he was a great, friendly guy.
Like, well, he was a cop himself.
He was.
Yeah.
I got an award once, and I was at a ceremony, and... My oldest daughter, Sarah, who's 24 now, was about 2 at the time.
Yeah.
And I was holding her, and he met me kind of in line, and I didn't know him.
Yeah.
I didn't know him before that. And he said, who's this lovely little girl? And I said, her name is Sarah. She's my daughter, and she's 2 years old. Fast forward an hour later, cake and coffee, the reception after the award ceremony.
Yeah.
And one of the ladies was saying, oh, she's so cute. And he says, oh, that's Sarah. That's Dan's daughter. And I remember thinking, how did you remember her name?
Well, he's also a politician.
I know. I met you in a line.
Yeah.
An hour ago, and you remembered her name.
Yeah.
Very nice man.
Oh, he's
good
the
guy.
Best. Yeah. We miss him.
Yeah.
You know? I miss him in the sheriff's office anyway. So what's the first thing you did? What, you took the cook? Were you a correctional officer first?
I did. I started. Okay. I started there like everybody does.
Yeah.
And then I was fortunate.
As a guard, basically. A jail guard.
Essentially, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. March 1990.
No kidding. And how long did you do that?
Too long.
Yeah, that's what. That's also what everybody says. Yeah.
And then I was fortunate. I got on this job, and I had a great career. Lots of fun, good stuff, good people.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
What are you doing these days?
I'm here on the Mike Houlihan Show.
Oh, I mean, okay.
I'm on Hibernian Radio. Yeah. I'm moving up in the world.
But you're just kind of taking the pension and relaxing, and that's good.
For the most part.
Yeah, okay, good. You're not going into the security. A lot of guys go into the security business and stuff like that.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know what the future holds.
Okay. All right, so let's back it up a little bit. So there you are. You're a correctional officer, young guy. Did you still live on the north side?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I lived on the northwest side.
So you're just kind of a guy from the north side. That's it. You hang out there and.
I'm a Tekla guy.
Yeah.
That's where we're from.
Is
we're from
Babes
Tekla.
Right there?
Babes on Albion?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course Babes is
okay.
on Albion. Yeah.
Is that one of your hangouts, Babes? I've
been there a time or two.
Okay.
You know, it's on the Nile side of the street, so they open at 7 a.m.
Oh, I did not know that.
And there's a great story about Babes.
Yeah.
Father Matt was our pastor for a long time. And he asked the owner of Babes not to serve on Sundays. Before noon.
Oh, okay, because they're coming to Mass
people
loaded.
Or weren't going to Mass at all.
Yeah.
So the folklore is that Father Matt said, if you keep it closed until 11, I'll come in after Mass and I'll buy everyone a drink.
Wow. Every Sunday?
I don't believe it, but that's the story.
Yeah? Babes is still there, though,
it
right?
is. It yeah. sure is, yeah. Okay. Babes at Albion and Natoma.
Okay.
For sure.
I remember the Pierces, the Pierce brothers, Kevin and Chucky and
Chucky Pierce would be older than me, but I knew him by name. I know okay. who he is.
Yeah, he was a fixture at Babes.
He
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
He
haven't
was.
Seen him in a while, but what a character. Yeah.
That was a spot you'd find my father at.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Saturdays, yeah. The Irish guys would hang out
sure.
in Babes.
Yeah.
The old West Side Irish guys
yeah.
would hang out in
West
Babes.
West Side Irish, yeah. 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 Resurrection, St. Angela's, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're still out there.
Man, I'll tell you what, if you could get a seat at the bar when those guys were hanging around, you were in for a real show.
Yeah.
Lots of laughs.
All right, tell me some stories. You worked in the gang unit for a while.
I did.
What was that like?
It was good.
Undercover?
You know,
what's that like?
We did some stuff like that.
You know what? I got a note from Jeff Lang this morning. He saw you're going to be on the show, so he said you guys worked together.
We did.
He did a lot of undercover stuff.
Yeah, Jeff was a guy that did a lot of, like, where he was actually the undercover.
Yeah.
You know, I can't play the undercover role because I walk into a bar, even now, people
yeah,
say,
you
a cop?
There's a cop.
I just have that look.
Yeah.
But, we did a lot of stuff. We did a lot of, lots of long-term, when I was in narcotics, we did a lot of long-term more complex
yeah.
cases going after traffickers more than anything. So
and
I
that's when you got to build a relationship and everything with these guys. And
yeah, it's when the goal is prison time. You know, we would
yeah.
do consensual overhears where, you know, everything was recorded, you know. So the undercovers conversations
all
were
wearing
recorded.
A wire. Yeah.
You know, I probably shouldn't say what we used to record it because I don't want the bad guys to know our
yeah,
secrets,
yeah, yeah,
but
don't.
They probably know already.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was fun. It was a lot of interesting stuff around there. But my best years were probably as a detective. That's where I probably did the most and had the most fun. I worked with a great crew, and I had a blast.
What's the jurisdiction of the Cook County Sheriff's Police? Because, can you work in Chicago? What's the deal?
We do. Anywhere in
anywhere in Cook County.
Cook County, yep.
So that's kind of an outlaw force of its own. I mean, do you get grief from the Chicago cops? Like, hey, this is our turf? Or
no, actually,
like that?
You know, when I retired, I worked in the sheriff's violence reduction group. And
yeah.
We were in the 15th district, and I spent a lot of time there. And we got along great with those guys.
Oh,
we had a lot of fun
good.
There and did a lot of good work. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say that we stopped the violence because we didn't. But,
right.
you know, when you're calling for help and you know, 25 or 30 extra police officers show up.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what uniform they're wearing
exactly.
or what color that uniform is or where they came
yeah.
from. You know, it was
yeah.
really all about just being there and working together and just being good coppers.
So how do you, I mean, you're looking at a drug operation and say, well, we're going to take this down. We're going to infiltrate this. You got to come up with a plan, obviously.
We did.
Who decides all that stuff?
Well, they would designate a case agent. So somebody on a team would become a case agent. And I was honored. I played that role many times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm proud of that work.
Yeah.
You know, the balding white guy from the Northwest Side who can't buy drugs can run the case. So I spent a lot of time, running a case. And, you know, it starts with information about the spot, where it's at.
Yeah.
A lot of surveillance. You know, you watch the spot, you figure out who's doing what. Try to get somebody coming out, flip somebody to get some information.
Yeah.
Maybe make an introduction, get an undercover involved. Once you get an undercover involved and you identify your target group, once you get some buys in and you get some evidence, type up a consensual over here, get with a state's attorney, felony review gets involved, we get
okay.
a judge to sign it. Now we can wire the calls. So we use surveillance equipment to video record, and then the surveillance equipment to audio record. And you don't spend a whole lot of time in court.
It's a big operation.
It's a big operation.
Yeah. I'm producing a show. You know?
Except yeah. You can't drink on that job.
Yeah. Yeah, this one you can. So you get a van and you're videotaping these guys and everything? And
vans, cars, trucks, yeah.
Yeah. Anything ever go south on you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could probably tell this story now because I'm retired. We were doing an operation, and it was in Maywood.
Oh, yeah.
And
I still live right near there.
I was in the surveillance van, and they were trying to identify one of the guys who had sold to an undercover. So a couple of policemen tried to stop him to basically do a name check and ID him because we hadn't seen him before. He just popped out of the blue, serves the undercover. And then when we try to stop him a half hour, an hour later to identify him while we're watching him conduct his illegal business, he takes off running. So now there's a foot chase. There's cars coming in. You see squad cars jumping curbs, chasing them.
Oh, wow.
Shut off the video equipment because we don't know where this is going.
Yeah.
It all ends good. You know, there's nothing bad. But those are hairy moments when you see that, you know, that kind of stuff is going on in the middle of your operation.
Yeah.
But it is goes with the job, you know.
And it's nice that you're the overweight, balding white guy, so you don't have to do that much running. You say, you guys get that.
Fastest fat white man on 2 feet? Why'd you have to throw the overweight in? I left that part out.
I thought you said that
first. I left
that
part out.
You're about the same age as weight as I am. You're not as old as me. But all right, now tell me about their trip to Kankakee.
That's a good story, actually. It was a fugitive case, right? My good friend and former partner Ambrose Kelly.
Give these guys a shout out. We got some friends of yours here.
Some of my very closest friends and former partners, Pat Moriarty and I came on together. We've been friends a long time, and Pat has 30 years on as well, except he's still working. Ambrose Kelly and Mike Coakley. We were all Mike and Ambrose and I were all partners. We all worked together. We were detectives together and. Spent a lot of time in the same squad cars and interview rooms and
yeah.
a lot of good times.
Well, thanks for coming out, you guys. Appreciate it.
They heard you were buying. I couldn't.
I am buying. just go easy for the crying out loud. Yeah.
They're double fisting on your tab.
That's on our sponsor, Lizzie McNeil's. Ba-dum-bum. All right, keep going. The Kankakee deal.
So I walked into work. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was starting my day. And I had work to do.
Three o'clock? Is that when you started?
We worked nights, yeah.
Oh,
we,
okay.
We'd start at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I got in, and I was ready to start typing, start my day, and I had stuff to do and catching up. And our sergeant came in, and he said, hey, jump in on this interview. And it was a fugitive case. The fugitive guys were working, looking for a guy who was wanted for murder, and he somehow was released from the jail or something like that. So I get pushed into this case, and it's a sticky situation because it's kind of like pissing on some other dog's tree. You know, it's a fugitive guy's case. And
are they U.S. Marshals?
Well, they were part of the task force. Okay. It was all a big to-do. Now this hotshot, quote-unquote hotshot detective is going to come in and try to take over.
Yeah.
So we built a little rapport, and I went in and did an interview, and guy gave me some information, something he hadn't revealed. So that led us to another
fugitive.
Group. It was a family member.
Oh.
Of a fugitive. The fugitive was in the street. We were looking for him.
Oh, okay.
So they had I'm sorry, I should have started with that. So this family member of this fugitive is in an interview room.
Yeah.
So they want someone to talk to him about where his
relative
is.
Or whatever, yeah.
So he basically says, listen, this guy's no family to me.
Yeah.
He's my brother's ex-wife's husband's son.
Yeah.
You know, one of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Not a biological connection. So, but he does lead us to another house and another family. And about 30 hours later, we find the right person and the fugitive guys, to their credit, they find the guy, bring him in, and I'm in an interview. Tracked him down, and he gives it up. Tells us where the guy's at. He's in Kankakee.
Ah.
So, sure enough, we load up.
Did he say where in Kankakee?
Well,
that's a big city.
He had to take us there.
Oh, okay.
He couldn't give us an address. He had to show us where it was at.
Yeah, okay.
So, put him in an undercover car with a couple of guys. They drive him down. He picks out the house. They do some surveillance.
Yeah.
And they see the guy in the house, and next thing you know, SWAT guys in their toys, you know, machine guns and rams, and they hit the door, and they find the guy. If my memory serves me right, he was sitting on the couch in women's clothes waiting for a ride to Kentucky.
Ah!
if my memory serves me right. So Ambrose was driving, and Ambrose is very crafty when he drove. He realized that there were about 50 police cars there because people came from everywhere, and they were bringing in SWAT guys from home because it was a bad guy. He was a dangerous guy.
Had he committed a murder or something? Or?
He yes.
Oh, okay.
And he was a dangerous guy.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Ambrose parks.
He's wearing a dress.
it's my understanding he was wearing a dress.
Okay.
Waiting for a ride because he didn't want to be recognized as the fugitive that was all over the TV.
Oh, it was a disguise.
He wanted to be seen as a woman trying to hide to Kentucky.
Yeah.
So Ambrose is very crafty when he drove, and he knew better than to get involved with 50 cars because then we're trapped. So he parked about 3 blocks away. They hit the door, and the bad guy's there, and he's in custody, and everything's good.
When you say hit the door, you hit one of those battering ram things right through the door? Wow.
SWAT guys in their toys.
Yeah, yeah.
Rifles pointed everywhere. So he's in custody, and Ambrose says, let's go. So we're walking about 3 blocks, and it's snowing sideways in Kankakee. I mean snowing sideways, and it's bitter cold.
And he's going to go to Kankakee with you.
Who, the bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming back to Cook County with us.
Oh, okay.
We found him in Kankakee.
All right, yeah.
We got him in Kankakee,
okay, yeah.
And we're bringing him back to Cook County.
So it's snowing out.
It's snowing sideways.
Yeah.
And to our current sheriff's credit, he was there.
Tom Dart.
He was there with us.
Oh, he was with you?
He was there when we hit the door.
No kidding.
So he finds us in the snowstorm, comes up to Ambrose and I, and he says, hey, I know the work you guys did, and I appreciate you. Thank you, thank you. And we get in the car, and up 57, we're back in Chicago.
Yeah.
So several weeks later, it was Paddy's Day. And the Northwest Side Parade, much like the South Side, we have our own parade.
I know, it's huge.
We're very Edison sophisticated Park, there. Yeah, I know you might not know this, but we're very sophisticated up there. So we have our own parade, and it's a good time, and it's Sunday, and it's 12:15, and in all honesty, can I say on the radio? I'm drunk.
You just did. Yeah, officer.
So
Retired officer.
Yeah. Our mutual friend, Tom Frawley, is sitting on the curb holding court, as he always does.
Yeah.
And who do I see him talking to but Tom Dart?
Yeah.
No, I work for him.
Yeah.
And it's 12:15 on a Sunday. It's Paddy's Day, and I'm rip-roaring
and
drunk.
And you're going east on Ashland.
Exactly. Exactly. So he sees me, points to me, and he says, hey, Dan, how are you?
Oh.
Good, sir. How are you? Shook his hand, happy Paddy's Day, put my sober face on, and then I introduced him to, you know, my family and my kids and everybody, and he said, thanks again, you know, good work, and he walked off, and I was the talk of the town. Boy, did I get my balls busted for the rest of that Paddy's Day. Everybody was giving me hell because the boss said hello, and it was all Frawley's fault.
And all because of the trip to Kankakee.
Because of a trip to Kankakee.
You see a man in a dress.
Yeah. Good fun.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Now, do you see a lot of criminals wearing dresses these days?
No. I don't see any criminals anymore, Mike. I'm retired.
Yeah, you just retired in September.
That's right, yeah.
So you're fresh off the job.
Off the books, yeah.
Yeah. Do you miss it? Well, not yet, you don't.
I was time to go. I was ready to go. It was great. No hard feelings, no regrets. It's just it's time to do something else and move on.
Any other, what's the scariest thing you ever were involved with?
I don't even know now. I couldn't even think of one.
Anybody ever shoot you? At you? Okay.
But, you know, earlier we were talking about my dad, right?
Yeah.
What's
your dad's name?
Dan. Same as me.
Dan Burke.
Yeah. So my father was he was the real deal at one time. He got shot on the police department.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all sitting in his backyard having a few beers once, and guy was telling a story about a foot chase. And he stopped him, and he said, listen, he said, nobody wants to hear those blood and gut stories.
Yeah.
He said, if it's not funny, don't tell it.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to tell me a foot chase about a one-legged prostitute beating up the John that didn't pay for it, I don't want to hear it. And that was kind of his thing. Like, nobody wants to hear about the blood and guts and the gore. If it isn't funny, don't tell it, because nobody cares anyway.
Yeah.
So I try to practice that philosophy.
I'd rather
tell the funny ones than the gory ones.
Yeah. Well, then tell me a funny one for crying out loud. FTFS.
So, like I was telling you, the detective years were my best years. They were fun years. My favorite interview ever. And I'll leave this name out because, like they say in Dragnet.
Sure.
Protect the innocent. Names have been changed to protect
the innocent. So we're doing an interview, and this kid's a bad kid. And basically we were...
When you say kid, how old is he?
He was about 19.
Okay.
So we had been working... We were doing burglaries at the time, and we were working a crew that was doing dozens and dozens of burglaries.
Yeah.
So we got onto them, we figured out their pattern, and we figure out who they are. We executed a search warrant at the house.
And now, where is the house? Is it
the house was in Calumet City.
Oh, okay.
But these guys were doing burglaries from Wisconsin to Indiana.
Wow.
They were doing... They were doing burglaries everywhere. They started every day.
They were organized.
On a mission to break in.
Yep. Wow.
So we found that he was stashing all his proceeds at his mother's house in Calumet City.
Ah.
And we heard him on a phone talking about the jewelry, the Rolexes, and the guns.
Yeah.
So he gets Junior on the phone and he tells him, hey, I'm locked up. And he's on a jail phone talking.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm locked up and they're coming. The people, the police are coming. Get those things out of the house.
Yeah.
So the kid says, what things? And he says, you know, the things. And he says, what things? And he said, those things, you know, the things. And the kid says, what things? He said, the guns. He said, don't say guns on the phone. They're listening. So as he's talking, I'm typing. So I type the search warrant. We hit the door, and we don't find the guy we're looking for because he's locked up, but we find his kit, right?
Yeah.
We were hoping there was another guy that was there, but we find the kit.
Yeah.
And we find the guns. We find the jewelry. We find a house full of stolen merchandise. Long day of loading up property to take back in inventory.
Yeah.
So we're in the interview room with him. Kid's about 19 years old. He's been locked up about 25, 26 times. And bad stuff. Pistols, robberies. He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, doing stuff with his dad. So we get him in the interview room, and he's looking at us. And he's staring at me, and then he's staring at Ambrose. And then he stares at me.
Giving him the evil eye, huh?
He's giving us, the stink eye.
Yeah.
So we're asking him questions. He's giving me dirty looks, and he's giving him dirty looks. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm trying to figure you all out. I said, you're trying to figure us out? He said, yeah. He said, I think I got you. I said, yeah, what are we? He said, y'all some red-faced Irish detectives. He said, which one of you is going to hit me first?
He said that?
I swear on everything. Which one of you is going to hit me first? I said, nobody's going to hit you. It's a camera. It's
reputation.
He did, and he made reference to a notorious...
John Burge.
He said the name. You're John Burge detectives.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a good laugh about it, and we interviewed him, and he gave us a little bit and basically said, you know, it's not me you're after. Go talk to my father.
Yeah.
That's the guy you want. So we walked out of the room, and a couple of other detectives came up to us, and they said, hey, we were watching the interview. You mind if we ask him a few questions? I didn't mind. I figured if you get something out of him, great.
Yeah.
And if you don't, we got everything we're going to get.
Yeah.
So we're standing outside, and we're talking to our sergeant. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think that a holy hell was breaking out in this interview room. You could hear yelling and screaming. So we run over there, open the door, and these two detectives storm out. Every MF in the world is coming out of their mouths. So I said, what happened?
And to the kid, you said this? What
I said to the kid, I said, what happened? He said, what'd you send them two first 48s at me for? the TV show,
the first
48. So I said, hey, here's your grape soda and your chocolate bar. Relax, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Your chocolate bar.
So I walk over and I said, what happened in there? So he did to them the same thing he did to us.
Oh.
Except they were peppering him, both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
So he said, who are you? Bad cop and bad cop?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't one of you supposed to be the good cop?
Yeah.
And then you, MF-er, and they start yelling and screaming, and, and the interview ended. But I'll tell you, that kid was a funny kid. We had a good laugh with him.
You know, you can't have a thin skin if you're a cop. You're going to be trying to break these guys down, you know. I would think. That used to be one of my favorite shows, The First 48.
It's a good show.
Yeah. I watch a lot of The Forensic Files now. You're watching that show. Although, the other night I was watching Snapped. Wow. The chick says, I'm guilty, but I'm insane, so it's okay. I said, that's a good line.
Yeah. I don't watch many of those police shows, honestly.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. Why bring your work home with
you? If you asked my children what they grew up watching, they'd say, you know, HGTV.
Oh, yeah.
And a little food channel every once in a while. Dad was always watching DIYs, is what my daughter Megan would tell you.
Oh, yeah. do it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, well, any other outstanding, we're about to wrap this up. You got one more story, Danny.
Well, I'll tell you, and it's really more about my dad, who I'm obviously very proud of. I've had lots of good mentors in my career and in my life.
Yeah.
And he being number one, you know. So my father was the founder of the Emerald Society.
I forgot about that.
He was the guy that started the,
Dan Burke,
the show.
Yeah.
And I was about 12 years old. And, I mean, obviously I'll remember. It was 1981 and a series of tragedies in the police department. Some police officers were killed. Fahey and O'Brien.
Everybody remembers that.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
They were executed. Yeah.
All those guys were Emerald Society guys.
Yeah.
So, in a series, three police officers were killed, and all of them were members. And anyway, long story long. Sunday morning, and I'm about 12 years old, and that's when the phone hung on the wall.
Yeah. In the kitchen.
In the kitchen. So the phone rang on a Sunday morning, and I answered the phone. And I know you had Cody on here, and I'm sure he told you about
Tom Cody.
The starting days of the organization.
He just got reelected, as a matter of fact.
He's at it. The guy won't give up.
Yeah.
He's like Hillary. He keeps coming back for more. He just can't go away.
He looks like Hillary. Don't tell him I said that.
I think he might hear it.
No, he's the best.
He is the best.
Tom Cody, congratulations.
New president
of the Emerald Society.
I answer the phone, and she says, I need to speak to Officer Burke, please. Sure. So I go in. He's sleeping. It's Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I think he might have worked the night before. So I knock on the door. He says, take a message. Pick up the phone. I said, it was laying on the kitchen counter. I said, can I take a message? And she said, no, you cannot. She said, my name is Jane Byrne.
I've heard this story.
I'm the mayor of the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'd like to speak to Officer Burke, please.
Yeah.
I said, okay. Hold on. So knocked on the door. I said, hey, Dad, some lady's on the phone. She says she's the mayor of the city of Chicago. So he gets out of bed. What? Are you kidding me? And he's thinking somebody playing.
Somebody's pulling his chain.
Yeah, coppers messing around. So he picks up the phone and quickly he's like, yeah. So she put it to him. She basically said, you know, hey, I don't want to beg the mayor of New York City to have Emerald Society from New York pipers come in here and pipe. I want you to start a band. And the Emerald Society bagpipes and drums were born.
Yeah.
And my father had a friendship with a couple of guys from New York who they met previously.
And they came in and taught them how to play.
They did. They really mentored those guys on how to get their band started. So the bagpipes and drums of the New York City Police Department were really influential and a big part of the Chicago band, the Emerald Society starting.
And your dad.
I'm proud of him for it.
You should be.
As I always will be.
You know what is funny? I'll get to that after this, but I sent out an email blast. Did you see the email blast that went out?
I didn't know.
And there's always supposed to be a little catch subject line to get people to open the email. And I thought Burke's Law. You know, there's an old TV show, and I think a lot of people open that email, and I think they thought I was going to say something about Eddie Burke. Okay, and I'm sure you've heard this your whole career. What's the connection to Burke? Because I went, what are all these people? People who ordinarily don't. People from the Sun-Times and stuff are opening it. I went, they think it's Burke, you know. And he's had his problems right now of his own. But the thing I wanted to ask you about is there's a culture right now that is terrible, anti-police culture.
Yeah.
How do you deal with it? What's your take on that?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough to be a policeman today because you're really damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. You know, you're expected to do something, and that something is never enough. And when you're right, you're wrong, and when you're wrong, you're really wrong.
Yeah.
So these coppers today, I mean, like I said, I'm happy to be out, and I loved my career, and I still, you know what I mean? I feel for them. I really do, and it's an awful thing that they're going through, because there's nothing worse than somebody in your face every day, and that's what they go through.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that they can say no.
Yeah.
And it's constant resistance and very little support. Don't get me wrong. There's people out there that support them, and they make it known.
Yeah.
There's lots of stories about people in line saying, hey, the officer's coffee's on me.
Yes, good, yeah. Blue Lives Matter.
They do matter.
Tell the officer that. Yeah.
You know, we're living in a world right now where I don't think everybody agrees or believes that.
I see Mayor Lightfoot has just endorsed Kim Fox for state's attorney. I said, what in the heck is she drinking? Unbelievable. But I won't get into that. Danny, you got to come back in a couple of months and tell us some more stories, will you?
I will.
You've been a great guest, and thanks for bringing these guys. We want to get these guys on the show, too.
Thank you.
Okay, stay safe, even though you're not on there anymore. We're very proud of you. God bless you. You're a great Irishman.
Thank you.
And have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on the Hibernian Radio Show after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian Radio Show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Okay.
your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. You know, while I'm saying that, and we thank our listeners and we thank the police officers and the firefighters of Chicagoland for how they've helped make this show a success. You know, a year ago we started this about the 1st of January, right after Skinny retired, and we didn't know what we were getting into. And this has been a formula that has been so great, getting just great stories out of our Irish first responders. So we thank all you guys. Also want to thank all our sponsors. We want to thank Mike Haggerty and Bill Haggerty, who just re-upped for Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen. McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Our old friend Caroline Gallagher, personal injury attorney. Jimmy Sweeney over at Local 150. Bob Sheehy at Sheehy Funeral Home. Johnny Wren over here at Lizzie McNeil's. Who else is on here? Well, you'll be hearing from them as we go through the show. And while I'm doing that, the other night I went to the Emerald Society turkey raffle, and they were serving some Mullins applesauce. I want to give a shout-out to Jim Mullen. This stuff is amazing. Have you ever tried it? It's like apple pie without the crust. So if you're going out and picking out your stuff for Thanksgiving, pick up some delicious Mullins applesauce. It's the product of the great Jim Mullen, who took a bullet and is paralyzed, and God bless him, and help him out and keep buying that Mullins applesauce for your family. Also, I want to remind everybody, the second annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball is coming up Sunday, December 15th. You'll be hearing more about that, but we got the Larkin and Moran brothers. We got great bands. We have St. Stephen's Green. We got the Murphy Roach Irish Music Club and all kinds of people. It's going to be a blast. It's at McGaffer's Saloon on December 15th from 3 to 7, 7737 West Roosevelt Road. And you know what? Drop in and see our friends Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub, 6462 South Central Avenue. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area, and Mike and Dawn will take good care of yous. If you're headed down to Western Avenue tonight or anytime this weekend, stop in and say hello to our friends Mary and Bernard at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern. It's the perfect Southside Irish bar, and there's always something going on there. And tell them who he sent you. And the Irish American News has been bringing you news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson, 847-872-0700. Our friend Chubbs Polfus is going to be once again hosting Christmas with a Cause at McGaffer's on Saturday, December 7th. You got to get over there, bring a toy for a kid. You'll hear more about that as we get closer, but it's a great event at McGaffer's as well. Also, the Weeping Jim VIP Tour to Ireland is sold out. I'm pretty sure it is. And what else do I have to plug here? All right, now the obits. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's, any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, hey, Hooley, Who died? William Raymond Maher Jr., 91, of Lombard. Bill's life as a husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, son, brother, and friend is to be celebrated as a life fully lived, well-lived, and devoted always to God and his son, Jesus Christ. Bill joined the U.S. Army, was stationed in Alaska. He preceded in death by his wife, Patricia, and his sister, Mary, and survived by his children, Trip, Mary, Molly, Tim, Mike, and Terry. God rest his soul, Bill Maher, 91. Also, Patrick Kerrigan, beloved husband of Mary and the father of Mary, Patrick, and Tom, is the dear brother of Mary, Mary Murphy, Bridie Silhan, Margaret Ann Crayley, and late Johnny. He's a native of Cloughbrack, Clonbur, County Galway. God rest his soul, Pat Kerrigan. And Dolores Hennessy, beloved wife of late Bill Hennessy, the mother of Catherine, Margaret, Peg, and the late Patrice and Lori. And she was waked at Sheehy's, where all the right people go. And also Don Ryan, 91, Donald Ryan, beloved husband of the late Doris, and the loving father of DJ, Debbie, Mike, John, and Lori, dear grandfather of 17 and the great-grandfather of 16, and he was waked at Sheehy's, where all the right people go. And I'm going to die in a minute. So, let's close up the crypt, Billy, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
History going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did. This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call them today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Hey, just having a blast here back at, I'll have an Irish coffee, please, Crosby. Yeah, you can listen to the show. You heard your name now. Decaf. Okay, just give me a whiskey. I'm having a little, my throat's playing me up a bit. Okay, where was I? Oh, I want to remind everybody, our old pal Chubbs and Pat Malone are throwing their annual Christmas party over at McGaffer's, 7737 West Roosevelt Road. It's Saturday, December 7th. It's a great thing for kids, and it's just a great fundraiser. You got to stop by, and you can hear all about it right now.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan at Hibernian Radio. Hey, you know, Christmas is coming, and one of the great things about the Christmas season is our old pal Chubbs. And he's once again, this is the 20th year, I think, maybe 21st year, of Christmas with a Cause over at McGaffer's Saloon. Chubbs, tell us the whole story.
Well, Hooley, thanks for letting us on here today. Listen, it's pretty simple. We got all our old 16-inch softball guys, the Bud Louisville Takers, and we went into the Hall of Fame. And we got together and met, and everybody started bringing a toy that night. The end of the season, we then the next year we told them bring another person with you, and it's grown. Now there's 200 people come by.
Yeah,
it's like the kickoff of the season, you know.
Absolutely, and it kicks off the Christmas season.
Off the Christmas season in the town here, and we get
Forest
a lot
Park.
Of the Forest Park. So
7737 West Roosevelt Road.
Yes, right here on Roosevelt Road, right across from Portillo's. Plenty of parking, and you know we get a lot of support from the neighborhood places. The unions, of course, Liquor and Warehouse Union, the Elevator Constructors Union, the Iron Workers, the Ornamental Iron Workers, and, you know, the Teamsters. They're all big supporters of us and get us started. And then we go to the local neighborhood watering holes. We've got O'Sullivan's, Duffy's, you know, old school.
They all kick in.
Angelo O'Leary's, they all kick in. We put them all on the back of our shirt. And
oh, cool.
It's a great thing. We got Farmington Meats and Weinstein Meats in town here. And MP Kitchen, Blueberry Breakfast in LaGrange, and Curry Chevrolet right down the street. And they all help us out with some simple prizes and gift certificates and things like that. And it makes it for a nice date. We try to raise some money for some of the great charities on our thing. Our Shriners Hospital for Children, the veterans, of course. We've got our VA Blind Center over here. We got the Fisher House, the Heinz Fisher House, over in Maywood here. St. Jude's Research Hospital, Forest Park Community Center for Seniors. We love to take care of the seniors.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing. Opportunity Knox for the kids, the Ambrose Foundation for the kids, the Mulliganeers.
Oh, they're great. The
Mulliganeers from Riverside, they're great.
Pete Brown.
Petey Brown is one of the best.
God bless them.
And the Ronald McDonald House over at Heinz, and the Best Buddies program over at Riverside Brookfield High School.
Oh, terrific.
And it's all good stuff, and we try to just do the best we can for them and get a bunch of toys. Most important thing, just bring a toy, boy or girl, and we give it to all the needy, you know, organizations around.
Now, I remember last year you raised a ton of dough. Do you remember how much dough you raised?
Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty high last year. I don't know. It's probably, you know, 30
to
40,000.
30
to
40 grand, that's incredible.
Probably each one gets, we had so many on there, gets 1,000, 2,000 for each one. But the toys were 65 giant bags of toys, which were the most important
thing. That's a beautiful thing about it.
And it was great. And no kid has a bad time.
So it's Saturday, December 7th, here at McGaffer's Saloon.
Here at McGaffer's.
7737 West Roosevelt Road. Starts at 4, goes until closing. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, just stop in, have
a
drink.
Party.
You see a lot of softball guys.
You'll
see a lot of the
people you haven't seen in
years. Board of Trade, Mercantile Exchange guys. I mean, there's just tons of good people, and just to kick off the season. Every once in a while, a celebrity, one of our best ones, is Jeremy Roenick from the Black
Ducks.
He loves the... help us out. And if he's in town, he tries to come over here. And, you know, one time he had his book here and he was signing his book for everybody. He's just a great guy.
Yeah.
And loves to help out.
And you have jerseys and stuff like
that. He signed some jerseys for us and things like that. And there's some good sports memorabilia, bar memorabilia, because that's what we like to do.
Well, it's one of the greatest bars in town.
And it's an old thing, and you can always find something that's fun.
Yeah.
And then... it's a lead into the
hooligan into the
ball.
The Hibernian hooligan ball. And, big
and that's
thanks
the next
to Pat
week.
Malone
so
that.
That'll be
week.
A nice thing. Yeah. See the place.
Yeah.
Come back the next week.
Come here and scout it out.
Have a scouting report and come on out. And you can't beat it. You know, I mean, it's just you run into a lot of good people here, you know.
So, all right. We hope to see everybody out there Saturday, December 7th, from 4 until closing. McGaffer's Saloon, Christmas.
With a cause.
With a cause, and it's a great event. Chubbs, I salute you. God bless you for doing this every year and helping
like
all those kids and all those people.
Trying just to organize things and get people together. That's all it is.
You're going to heaven.
It's all the good
people. You're going to heaven, pal.
Well, I hope that would be a good thing, I think.
Exactly.
I hope on that, you know, and I think my mother's already there and my father's already there.
There you go.
They'd like to see it. Because that's how, you know, I grew up on the west side there of... you know, and that's how it used to be. I grew up in Resurrection, Jackson and Cicero.
The old neighborhood.
And the old Irish neighborhood. And I'm telling you, it was that's how it was. Everybody helped everybody else.
God bless
them. And when you fall down, pick
somebody up,
help them up, you know?
All right.
And
Jones.
Get them back on the right track. So
thanks so much, pal, for what you're doing. We'll see you Saturday, December 7th, over at McGaffer's Saloon, 7737 West Roosevelt Road, from 4 till closing. Bring a gift.
There you
kid.
Go. Bring a gift.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks.
Thanks a
million. Okay, guys.
Take
hope to see everybody there.
Bye-bye.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here,
please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind. Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown. Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Welcome to Hoolytown with my old friend Greg Holloman. Hey, this is especially for Jeff Lang's mother, Alice, and for Bailey the Beagle. We're back with Hoolytown. And I missed it. I got to tell you, I missed doing Hoolytown. But, you know, I have to ask my producer, Billy, here, if he would please give me a hand with this door. Push it, 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 push it. Julia Roberts was being considered to play Harriet Tubman in Harriet biopic.
Who cares?
Queen Elizabeth II is disappointed Prince Harry and Duchess and Meghan won't attend Christmas festivities.
Who cares?
Miley Cyrus adopted a pig named Peppa after her divorce from Liam Hemsworth.
Who cares?
Celebrity hairstylist Chris Appleton says he keeps trying to convince Kim Kardashian to go back to blonde.
Who cares?
Emilia Clarke says she was told Game of Thrones fans would be disappointed if she didn't do nude scenes.
Who cares?
And finally, Prince Andrew to step back from royal duties for the foreseeable future.
Who cares?
Close it up! Push it, 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 push it. Oh, wait, Billy, Prince Andrew, he's wearing a top hat. Let me climb up there and get that latch. Get it. Ah! Beautiful. I got one joke. One joke? Okay. Actually, this joke is so good that I remember it. It reminds me of the story. You know, I spent a lot of time in New York, and there was a guy, Mr. Colosimo, was running the dog show at the at Madison Square Garden. He's in there one night getting everything ready, and the dog show starts the next night. And a lady goes in there, Andrea, and she has her little dog with her. It's a little, I don't know what kind of dog it is. And she's checking the joint out. And she goes, oh, Mr. Colosimo. He goes, oh, are you going to enter this dog in the dog show? She goes, yes, we're so nervous. I wanted to check it out. He goes, well, I'll tell you, that's a good-looking dog, but you got to have the hair trimmed on the dog's, you know, that dog needs a trim or it'll be immediately disqualified. So if I were you, I'd get that. She goes, where am I going to find a dog groomer at this time of night? And he goes, you know, I'll tell you what. Let me hold the dog. There's a drugstore, a Walgreens, right across the street. Go get some Nair. Go get a tube of Nair, and you come back. Put that on the dog's ears. It'll take care of the extra hair, and it'll be fine. Oh, thank you. So she runs across the street. She goes into Walgreens. She picks up the tube of Nair, and she puts it on the counter. The guy, all right, lady, are you going to use that under your arms? She says, no. Oh, well, if you were, I just wanted to tell you, better not use too much of it because you could get a rash. Oh, okay. Are you going to use it on your legs? Well, no, I'm not. I just said don't use any body lotion if you're going to do that for a couple of days because it could irritate your skin. May I ask, what are you going to use it on? She says, well, I'm going to use it on my schnauzer. I says, well, you better not ride a bike for a couple of days. That's so old. It's got whiskers. Hey, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Thanks for Thanksgiving. Thanks for being our audience. You've been great. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, I wondered. Oh, Lord, I wondered. Will I look down the road? And I wondered. Just to see how far I was from God. I just buckled up my shoes.